talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That's right, NBC Montana. John Jackson and I were just chatting off air there. Man, we were talking the fake news media, you know, the Montana media even. They're just as pathetic as MSNBC and CNN and the rest of them. I mean, it's just so obvious. Have you ever seen them throw any tough questions at Liberal Senator John Tester? But then the moment they get a chance to talk with a Republican candidate that's running against John Tester, it's like, I mean, they're just foaming at the mouth. They're so, they don't just suffer from Trump derangement syndrome. They suffer from, you know, conservative derangement syndrome. They are just foaming at the mouth. They are in such a complete defense mode to defend Liberal Senator John Tester.
I love watching the piece where that gal from NBC Montana has to say, oh, and I've got an email here that I need to ask you. does it actually say from John Tester on there? I mean, why don't you, you have an email, so you've got to hit the candidate with that on the air, right?
Yeah. So the Democrats told me to ask you about this question from some Daily Beast or some liberal fake news website. Would you please respond to what another fake? I'm here with the fake news demanding that you give a response to another fake news outlet here.
We've got a question. No, wait a minute. Here it is. Here it is, Aaron. We've got a question here from a viewer named Big Sandy.
And she, it's ma'am, she would like to know. Yeah. Big Sandy. Wasn't that line hilarious?
Oh, man.
So Alex Brusewitz was speaking alongside Donald Trump Jr., for those of you who missed it yesterday, at the University Center Ballroom in Missoula on Sunday. And Alex said, is Big Sandy John Tester's drag name? Oh, the imagery that just goes with, hey, here comes Big Sandy. Oh, it's ma'am.
Oh, my God. You know. Now, you and I have talked a bunch about what ugly drag queens we would be, right? We've talked about that. But John Tester in drag, just, I mean, I, like I said, I'm going to have to get a screwdriver in and scrub my brain of that image.
So Big Sandy's not the imagery you were looking for on a Tuesday morning on a beautiful day like this.
Oh, my God. It's like getting thrown in the Yellowstone River at 8 o'clock in the morning. Like,
I just got out of the pool. Either that or I saw Big Sandy's photographs. Same result. You know, you just got out of the pool or you just saw Big Sandy on the, you know, the cover of the magazine or something like
that. Can you imagine the yards of fabric that went into the dress for Big Sandy? Oh, jeez. Put a textile company out of business there.
Are those fishnet stockings? Did you get them from an Alaska, like, commercial fishing vessel for those fishnet stockings?
Whale net. I think they're whale net. That's what it's called.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we're just getting started, folks. It's the most unwoke hour of the week with John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. Man, what else are we going to talk about? We had all the fun we needed to do. We could just stop the show now.
I got more, Aaron. I got a lot more.
Yeah. You got more? All right. Well, stand by. Maybe you got something you want to bring to the table as well. Give us a call, 406-294-0970. The most unwoke hour of the week with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Securing America.
The last surviving Congressional Medal of Honor recipient from the Korean War, Colonel Ralph Puckett Jr., who died at the age of 97, April the 8th, lying in honor at the U.S. Capitol Monday. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell remembered the prayer Puckett offered when he took command of a company of Army Rangers in 1950.
Don't let me get a bunch of good guys killed.
On November 25th, 1950, Puckett and his Rangers secured a hill near the Chinese border, despite being outnumbered 10 to 1.
All of us here today know that prayer was granted.
Colonel Puckett also served in Vietnam and was the inaugural inductee into the U.S. Army Ranger Hall of Fame. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson hoped today's troops will continue to
learn from Colonel Puckett's example and aspire to the same great virtues of valor and honor and courage.
Kevin Uletsky, Fox News.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Guess which city is seeing a giant spike in the number of people applying for firearms permits? New York City, the one whose restrictive carry laws and permitting standards were rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court and who's now fighting in the Supreme Court yet again to uphold additional gun restrictions created after the previous ones were overturned. More than 13,000 New Yorkers applied for pistol permits in 2023. That's a little less than double from 2022. And more than 3,000 have applied in the first few months of this year alone. So why do so many people want to legally own a gun in New York City? Mayor Eric Adams can't say, but it's been lucrative so far. The NYPD charges more than $300 to process a permit. That's at least $200 more than the initial fee in Florida. New York City will make more than $6 million this fiscal year. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This was a great tweet from John Jackson here. This was from about 24 hours ago or so. So much seizing. So much seizing. Just awful that Trump has to seize all this stuff, isn't it? I mean, they're trying to seize his entire assets, but, you know, he is seizing on a certain narrative here, and they don't like it, John.
Seizing and pouncing. It's either seizing or pouncing, and that is the narrative from the mainstream media every single time. Every single time there's some kind of problem, scandal, embarrassment for the Democrats, and a Republican happens to raise his hand and say, hey, take a look at this. This is bad. Then the story in the mainstream media becomes Republicans' reaction to this scandal. Not the scandal itself. It's that Republicans are somehow pouncing, seizing, taking advantage of this unfortunate incident.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Let's ignore the true outrage here, which is these pro-Hamas terrorist demonstrators, rioters, these people calling for the death of Jews on these college campuses. Let's ignore that. What's really outrageous is that Republicans are pointing this out. The Republicans are criticizing the crazy pro-Hamas terrorists that the Democrats have got as the base of their party right now. Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, we were talking about liberal Senator John Tester. I don't know if you saw this on, I think it was on CNN over the weekend, but Mike Berg with the National Republican Senatorial Committee sent this clip out. So CNN was talking about the battleground states, you know, the Senate race here in Montana, Senate race in Ohio. Mike Berg called this a brutal segment for John Tester and Sherrod Brown. Tester and Brown need to appeal to Trump voters to win, but they're on video bashing Trump's presidency, calling him a racist and saying people should punch Trump in the face. Tester and Brown are as liberal as they come. Listen.
I don't have much use for Donald Trump. No surprise to this crowd. I think he's been a terrible president who's betrayed workers. Some call him a racist, which I agree with.
You got to call it for what it is. It's racism. And quite frankly, it's dividing the country. That's how he hopes to win, I guess. And I don't think, even in states where Donald Trump won big, that it does you any good running away from Donald Trump. I think you need to go back and punch him in the face. I mean, the truth is this guy is bad for this country.
There you go. But now, of course, you know, that remark came, I think that was in 2019. So the year after he was reelected the last go around, but he was talking tough after the election was over. But now he's got to wag his tail and pretend that he likes Donald Trump. No. Vote for me, even if you voted for Trump now.
The beauty of being a Democrat, particularly here in Montana, is, see, they will publicize, the media out here and their websites will publicize all those things they say out to his voters, right? But then they will never publicize all of the other stuff because they want the base to know what he says for them, but they don't want the rest of y'all to know about it. They are counting on you being stupid, okay? They're counting on you not paying attention at all, not knowing who he really is, how he votes, what he says.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've been
because I've been traveling around the state doing these events with Americans for Prosperity Montana, you know, we're sitting in front of restaurants. Well, yesterday I was sitting out in front of a hardware store. And so you just talk to random people that are coming by. And so it's been really interesting. You see a lot of great friends. You run into listeners, of course. But then you run into those people that are still in denial, that still are like, oh, they're not responsible for the inflation. And you're just like, and we're nice because, you know, we're in somebody else's business. So we're nice to folks and respectful. And, you know, but it's just like there are just people out there like a drug addiction. They're going to be in denial. And it doesn't matter how bad things get in this country. They're still going to vote the way they're going to vote. Let's go into the phone lines here. We've got Richard in Jordan first up. Richard, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen, and happy Freedom Friday on a Tuesday.
That's right. That's right.
I just wanted to make clear something. I called last Friday, and I had made mention about Mrs. Zinn as a possible representative. I am not anti-Stacey Zinn. That's the furthest thing from the truth. All I was trying to convey on Friday was that I'm just shocked that with all of her knowledge of the cartels operating in Montana and knowing where they are and all of that, I would think that our attorney general would want to put that vast knowledge to use for the state of Montana now that she's no longer a Fed and having to kowtow to what the Feds say. She can download all that information and somehow use it for the state of Montana directly for the attorney general and taking down these you know, criminal cartels. I'm sure she would make a great representative. I have no problem with her running whatsoever. I was just posing the question.
Yeah. No, I actually got a kick out of your phone call last week because I thought it was the greatest non-endorsement I've ever heard, where you were basically saying, this lady is too good. She's too effective. She's too big of a badass. Why would we send a badass like her to Congress? Right. But I also think I'm not backing any of these candidates in this race, but I will say good things about a lot of these candidates. And what I would say about Stacey Zinn is like, we need a partner in Congress that knows this stuff. We need somebody who's sat across the table from the cartels going and kicking these folks, under the table in Washington, D.C. and slamming on the table back there. I think that's the kind of partner that our attorney general needs. He's got folks working in his office. Because I've heard some people, oh, why don't you go serve in the legislature? And there's some people that think the legislature is the only thing you can do to serve. And it's like, well, why would she just want to go serve for 4 months out of the year when she can go 365, 24/7 against Joe Biden, John Tester, and the drug cartels? I did think your call. I got a kick out of your call, frankly, for that standpoint. All right, we'll get to Julie in the Flathead next up on the phone lines as well. 294-0970, the number for you.
Democracy 24.
While Missouri Republican Congressman Mark Alford is confident former President Trump is the right person to deliver on issues like foreign policy,
we have to be ready. We have to be tougher. That's why we need Donald Trump back in the White House.
A Monmouth University poll shows voters aren't so sold on the former president, President Biden, or independent candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. The poll shows just 32% of voters would definitely vote for the president, while 11% would probably vote for him. Those numbers are relatively similar for former President Trump at 30 and 14%. About half of those surveyed say they would definitely not vote for either candidate, which are numbers that haven't changed much since the fall. Only 35% of voters have a favorable opinion of Robert Kennedy Jr. Inflation and the economy polled as the top issues for voters, with immigration and abortion also at the top of the list. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in another call here, and then we'll chat more with John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. Julie in the Flathead, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, as I'm listening to all of this poor behavior by people not being honest and ethical, there's one thing that comes to mind. There is power in prayer. And speaking of prayer, Thursday, May 2nd, which is this week, It's the 73rd annual National Day of Prayer. So here in the Flathead Valley, they are having a gathering at Grouse Mountain Lodge at 10 a.m. It is open to the public. Last year, they had about like 150 people. I think the year before when they first did it, it was maybe 100 people gathered. But it was people from like Eureka and Polson and Coram and Bigfoot, Whitefish, all over the place. And, you know, you can have a lot of tenacity. You can have a lot of money. But you can waste a lot of energy if you don't have God leading you in what you do. So I know that prayers can change a wicked king's heart, a wicked man's heart, and make them do things that are right. So I just want to let the public know about it. Mark your calendar. Come. It's an hour and event that takes place at Grouse Mountain Lodge this Thursday at 10 a.m. You know, the Flathead Valley is a beautiful place. It's God's country, right? But the thing is that there's a lot of things going on that we need to be praying for our city council, for our school boards, for family units, you know, for businesses, and so much more, because a lot of people are being squeezed more so than what they realize.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the other thing is, too, is, It's very sad to know that 8 weeks ago that we were the headline for NBC Dateline. Cartels have taken over 6 reservations in Montana. That's sad. That's not okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we need prayer, because you know what? When people start standing up and start doing the right thing, that's when change happens. We can't just keep depending on the government or somebody else will do it. People need to start getting morals and ethics in their own hearts to where they start standing up. That's when change is going to happen, of no longer, you know, no longer putting up with poor behavior. So
that's right.
Well, I just think prayer is really important.
That's right. And so often we our listeners, you know, we'll talk about all these challenges, all these problems facing our country, and our listeners are like, yeah, well, what can we do about it? And why do we so often forget to simply pray? You know, the simplest thing, the most important thing that we could do, why do we always forget to do that, right? Julie, thanks for the phone call. And by the way, it's interesting listening to what you were talking about, because I just left earlier this morning, but right before I popped into the studio, John actually beat me to the studio this morning, because I was a block away at the Northern Hotel in Billings at the community prayer breakfast, and the mayor of Billings was the MC for the event, and they had a number of folks, and they actually asked me to pray at the event. And I'm like, I'm just some goofball that talks on the radio. Why do you got me praying? But John, exactly what Julie was just talking about there. Part of my prayer was to pray for our enemies. And I said a prayer of thanks for great leaders like Mayor Quincy down in Lodgegrass and Coach Stewart down in Lodgegrass and Tuff Harris for what they're doing. What these leaders, because, you know, as you know, Lodgegrass has been just battered by the drug cartels. And then, of course, they're getting hit by grocery prices and inflation like everybody else is. But it's even harder because they're not in a big town like Billings with all the grocery stores that you have available. And so, but then I also, you know, talked about praying for our enemies and, you know, turning the hearts of these drug dealers and these drug cartel operatives themselves. And so, anyway,
I don't know about you, but I think we dodged a bullet right there, because right as you press the caller, Julie comes on and she says, I'm sitting here listening to all this poor behavior. So I just knew that was about me and you.
I was like, yeah, you're right.
I was like, oh, here it comes.
People expect, but that's why they tune in on Tuesday, is to hear the poor behavior exhibited by you and me.
Didn't you think for sure that was about us?
I
was
like, getting called out now. Right. Thanks.
Sorry.
I think she was referring to Big Sandy and crew. I think.
Oh, okay.
I think
she
was
good.
Referring to. Yeah. But we were feeling a little convicted there too, weren't we?
dodge that bullet right there.
Hey, she must have been listening. She must have heard the phone call from Richard in Jordan, because Stacy Zinn, one of the Republican congressional candidates for Eastern Montana, is on the phone lines right now. Stacy, thanks for calling in.
No, good morning, Aaron. I heard the last two callers. I'm like, okay, I need to call in. Just number one, to respond to the first caller, and then to the second caller. I mean, her message is very, very empowering, because that's what we definitely do need is prayer, because we've got some activities going on that it's very unfortunate within the state.
Yeah. So what'd you think about what Richard had to say? I'll sum it up my way. He's like, you know, look, Stacey's too big of a badass. She's too good. She knows too much about the drug cartels. She should go work in state government or serve in the legislature. And I'm saying it differently than he did. But I think what his point, though, is he has really good things to say about you. So why Congress? Why go back to Washington?
Well, I've been working side by side with A.G. Knutson for the last several years. And we have made some great progress here in the state, but he needs a partner that is going to go fight for his state in Congress. Right now, there are whispers that DEA is looking to make some changes within the state, and it's not going to be for the positive. We are losing some key also agents with the BIA, which is not going, it's going to harm Montana. And no one is paying attention. I am dedicated to fighting for the state of Montana, to walk in step with the state of Montana and give Montana what it needs to be able to combat the issues coming across our southern border. Because if we do not take care of business, we are going to be inundated, and not only in Billings, Great Falls, Helena, the bigger cities, in our rural communities are going to start seeing the effects. And we need to start standing up to the forces that are about to arrive on our front doorstep.
That's right. I mean, you've talked before about how Liberal Senator John Tester would never even want to work with you when you were the head of the DEA. And yet the people who voted for him on the Crow Reservation and the Northern Cheyenne Reservation are being run over by the Mexican drug cartels. And yet what has John Tester done to get them federal law enforcement resources? What has he done to surge in more law enforcement support? Like, they haven't seen it, right? And so this is fundamentally a federal fight. And so why would you want to be some part-time legislator when you can be a full-time fighter on this issue? I mean, that's kind of the way I see it.
Well, unfortunately, the senator, I've never met the man. Here I have been a supervisor for the last 10 years, and he has never ingratiated himself to my office. You know, when I gone to traveled to other events, he was nowhere to be found. So it's very disingenuous when you have a senator now thumping his chest that he's all about the southwest border or he's all about Montana and the federal problem. No, excuse me, sir, you have not. All of a sudden it comes into national news that we have a problem up here. That's when you poke your head up. Absolutely not. We need to elect people that's going to take care of Montana and not going to be this facade or act, you know, the fake person going around, you know, trying to grab votes at the very last minute. That's not right.
That's right. Well, Stacey's in. Thanks for calling in. Nice surprise phone call. Great to hear from you.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right. Phone lines are open for you as well. You don't even have to be a candidate for Congress. Phone lines are open for everybody. 406-294-0970. You can also message us on our Montana Talks app. Yeah, we mentioned Alex Brusewitz was wondering, you know, he's good buddies with the Trump family. So he lives in Palm Beach, Florida. So so he's not familiar with all the Montana town names. So he thought that Big Sandy was John Tester's drag queen name. Alex Brusewitz added this. He says, every 6 years, John Tester flies from D.C. to Montana to pretend like he's some sort of moderate, but he has zero moderate bones in his obese body. Tester voted to impeach Trump 2 times, and he votes with Biden and the far left 100% of the time. Montanans will vote that fraud out. John Jackson, I don't know if you saw this video. Donald Trump Jr. and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy actually went to John Tester's empty office in Missoula, apparently.
Hey guys, John Trump Jr. here. I'm here with Tim Sheehy, who's running for United States Senate right here in the great state of Montana. We're in front of Senator John Tester's office, and of course, no one's here because he's doing the bidding of Joe Biden and the swamp in Washington, D.C. He's forgotten where he's from. He's not in Montana. He votes with the Biden administration 100% of the time. That doesn't represent Montana. This is where we can change the trajectory of the United States Senate and America.
Don said it all. We got to save America. America's at a crossroads. John Tester is voting to have boys and girls sports. He's voting for open borders. He's voting to fly illegal immigrants all over this country while America's veterans are homeless on the street. Time to send them home. TimFrom2.com.
John, I'll never hear the name Big Sandy the same ever again. To all my friends in Big Sandy that are just as mad at John Tesler as the rest of us, I'm sorry, but I'll just never hear the name again. Same again.
People don't understand. A lot of people don't understand how good Don Jr. is at mockery and ridicule and comedy. He really is a very, very funny guy. And if he wants to go after you, mock you and everything, he's one of the best out there. Because he's so funny, he's so articulate.
Well, we got only less than a minute to go before the next break, so I'll get to more callers after that. We got a few people ringing in right now. What's the topic you got scribbled on your list there we haven't gotten to yet?
Big thing that's come out, and a lot of it's on Twitter, you're not hearing about it in the mainstream media, is this case with Donald Trump and the classified documents case. Well, the judge in that case is little by little releasing all the documents, the discovery documents, so they're out there for the public to see. Well, turns out, Aaron, we called this on your radio and on our podcast a year ago. This was a complete and utter setup, and it's shown in the documents that these people at NARA, and that's the National Archives and Records Administration, they call Donald Trump's people and say, we've got pallets of these documents for you. Come and get them. We're going to send them to you.
They just send them to him.
They send them to him, and then they call the FBI and say, Donald Trump's got all these documents. We want them back.
By the way, I think I just saw a news flash that this corrupt judge in New York is ordering Trump to pay thousands of dollars in fines in the hush money case. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, tip money, buddy.
Great
tip
response.
Money.
Tip money.
Yeah.
He's a good tipper.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Some conservatives are outraged at House Speaker Mike Johnson for advancing a Ukraine aid package, but not doing anything about the border. Quote, honestly, it's tough to defend Johnson right now, said Republican Arizona Representative Eli Crane. He's one of eight House Republicans who voted to remove former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy last fall. Freedom Caucus Chairman Bob Good of Virginia lamented that many Republicans were suffering from buyer's remorse with Johnson. Quote, we ended up selecting a candidate who has failed us, said Good. Keep in mind that Republicans spent 22 days trying to land on the Speaker after kicking out McCarthy. In the process, they incinerated three other candidates before they got to Johnson. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, and House Majority Whip Tom Emmer. This is why House Republicans are exhausted at the constant pandemonium. Quote, I just don't think we need that turmoil right now, said Homeland Security Committee Chairman Mark Green of Tennessee. You don't replace somebody until you've got a surefire consensus candidate coming in behind. And we don't. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
I'm a professor.
Yeah, whatever. I'm a cop. Oh, man, that was great. I'll tell you what. If you guys missed Monday's Montana Talks, we took callers throughout the morning. And, man, these nut job left-wing professors, these pro-Hamas terrorist rioters and protesters on these college campuses. What about the lady screaming as she's getting arrested? I'm a professor. Yeah, whatever. Get in the back of the patrol car. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. If you miss one second of the show, it's all on the Montana Talks podcast.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump into some phone calls here. 406-294-0970 as we got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, sidekicking with us here. Not only do we want to hear from you, but we also want to get John's take on what you had to say as well. So we're taking quick, if you got a quick question, quick comment, that makes it more fun because then we can get through more callers and get John's reaction as well, since he's graciously given up his time with us here on this Tuesday. Bob in Belgrade. Bob, what's going on?
Well, just comment on Big Sandy. I think he wears that plastic snow fencing for fishnet stockings.
Yeah, like the orange stuff that you might see on the ski hill, you know, like
that's it. that would fit perfectly.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got to be careful. I mean, he might be the next drag queen featured at the drag show targeting kids on Malmstrom Air Force Base, you know.
Yeah, he could be right on that RuPaul.
Old Big Sandy.
Go.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling in, Bob. Good to hear from you. Yeah.
I can see his ad. He's going to go for the trans vote, Aaron. He's going to cut a TV ad with Zoe Zephyr. and he's going to be full dressed up like Big Sandy going after that tranny vote out there. He's got to catch those 17 trannies that live in Montana. He's got to get their votes.
Well, you know, John Tester, he will wear the orange, you know, not the fishnet orange like you see on the ski hill, you know, to mark the lanes, et cetera, you know, keep people from running into the chairlift. But he wore Hunter's orange. I remember it was during, I think, the 2012 election. He wore Hunter's orange to make it look like he's a big sportsman. The guy hadn't had a hunting or fishing license in 16 years, but, oh, look at me. I'm a big sportsman. I mean, the guy's just been a phony since day one.
Okay, look right out across your studio over there. See that hill right over there? Do you think John Tester could grab his shotgun and walk up that hill?
You know, actually, I will say, like, you know, hey, he can move. That boy can move. You've seen him running from
0 to 40 yards, baby.
Well, okay, that's right. But no, I mean, you see the way. I mean, these fake news media outlets here in Montana that just copy and paste John Tester press releases and do these puff piece interviews, they never ask him tough questions. But then they foam at the mouth and act like attack dogs anytime a Republican shows up in their TV studios or whatever. But if John Tester actually has a camera in front of him with somebody asking tough questions, that boy can move.
I was right. When I saw them go exactly to who they were was during COVID. That's where you saw it. Normally, they're just the paws up, supine, submissive people for the Democrats and pass on the talking points like you're talking about. During COVID was when you saw the fangs bared, the snarling nastiness, just like the national mainstream media, when they wanted your schools closed, your churches closed, your business closed, and by God, if you didn't do it, they were coming after you with everything they had.
Yeah, that's why they loved all the COVID mask mandates and more, because you could just see this anger and hatred boiling within them, and that was their excuse to come tell you off, like they've been wanting to do for a long time. And then we all said, yeah, get out of my face, man, whatever. And boy, did that really make them mad. Let's go to Brad Molnar in Laurel. Brad, what's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. I've been looking into that new EPA rule that would cost $600 million to upgrade Colstrip 4. And it's only a $400 million plant, so that means it's shut down. But in checking with the industry professionals on this, there is no evidence that a scrubber bag, electrically charged or not, would be able to remove any more mercury than your current technology is already removing. So all it is an attempt to shut down the plant. And the other half of their ruling is to take out gases from new, so that would be the new plant, Northwestern plant outside of Lowell here, to reduce various hydrogens and sulfides as it comes out of the top. But there is no technology that does that. So they've given a longer timeline, but it can't be done, is the point. So they're passing a rule to do something that can't be done, and another rule to just simply shut down part of our high-capacity plants across the nation. And I thought people should know that. But this is more, I believe, of an election year gambit to appeal to his environmentalist that would normally support Joe, and he's trying to shore up his political fortunes.
Yeah, it's crazy how much they are doubling down with the crazy here. You know, usually in an election year, you try to moderate your positions and moderate your stances, but man, they are literally targeting, you know, our electric grid, targeting coal-fired power plants. In fact, Breitbart has a story that the Disney family and Libby sent to me. Electric grid operators sound the alarm. We are running out of electricity, and yet they continue to attack electricity.
To your caller there, what this shows you again, what gangster government you have with the Biden regime, because they were told, just like you've seen them do with this, the college loan payout, they were told by the Supreme Court, you can't do that. Well, they're just continuing to do it. And they got told 2 years ago in two separate cases by the Supreme Court of the United States involving first the ATF and then the EPA. They got told in rulings, you guys, the federal government, the regulatory state, cannot pass regulations that basically become laws. You cannot do that. Only the Congress does that. But you know what? They don't care. They just keep doing it, and they want to force you every single time to take that issue to court.
That's right. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, did you have a quick question or comment? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I have a point here that one of the nation's talk show fellows, I won't mention his name, he was given a quote on his opinion on abortion. He said, abortion is murder. Abortion is murder. And I'm okay with that. Now, you know, God's not a pacifist. You talk about praying for people who are of the opposite mindset. Sure, have their minds opened up, but they have to make a movement. And the book of Jeremiah, it says this, therefore pray not thou for those people, neither lift up a cry nor pray for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear them. We have gotten to the point where, you know, that some people think, well, God says you should pray for those who are wicked, and sometimes they are incorrigibly wicked, and God puts his foot down, and he expects us not to even waste our time praying for them, that he'll take care of them later.
You know, it's interesting, because when I talked about that earlier, I was thinking before I went up there, I was like, you know, it's, you know, this whole notion of praying for your enemies, and, you know, and there's even songs about, you know, in the midst of your enemies, you know, raising a hallelujah in the midst of your enemies. And it's like, there's so many people that don't even want to call the enemy, right? And so how can we, you know, pray for our enemies, if you think that's something you should do? How can you raise a hallelujah in the midst of your enemies, John, if we're too afraid to say who the enemy actually is?
I have no problem praying for my enemies once they are defeated. when they are completely and utterly vanquished, however necessary, then I'll pray for them after that. Until then, we're just going to take care of business.
Well, that's right. And we can pray for victory, too, yep. Right? Yeah, that's right. Let's see. Let's go to Frank in Evergreen. Frank, what's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah. I'm talking about this House District 8 here. We have an incumbent by the name of Brockman. And his political signs look like Democrat signs. It's all 90% blue, white letters, a white elephant. Is this a rhino subliminal ad, or is this some new creature called an elephino?
So it's a elephino. So if there's no red on the campaign signs, that makes you think they may not be conservative. I've never heard that one before, but yeah, there's all sorts of creative colors on campaign signs. John, what do you think? Are there any? See, to me, I think campaign signs are overrated. I think they're important for local races, legislative races, but to me, too often, unpopular opinion here, campaign signs are an excuse for people to say, I put a sign in my yard, I'm good, I did my part. And it's like, yeah, no, that doesn't win elections.
You talk about unpopular opinions. I got one for you right here, Aaron. As we come into, you know, we've got Republican primaries coming up. We've got the elections in November. I would tell people right now, first of all, educate yourself. Know who those candidates are and who you are filling out that oval for. Know who they are, okay? If you don't know, if you just get that ballot in the mail and you don't know who these people are, you don't know their backgrounds, you don't know who they are, don't fill it out, okay? Stay home, in other words. If you don't know who they are, stay home. And I'll tell you why. Because we, as a Republican Party, we are facing an existential crisis. We cannot send any more rhinos up there to betray us.
Well, in case in point, there's one of the Republican candidates. If you just read what he says and listen to what he says, he sounds like he's mimicking Matt Rosendale. But this guy is basically endorsed by the Democrats and Mark Roscoe. So why would any Republican vote for
Mr.
you
Stealth
at that
candidate
point?
There, yeah.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We have the Bloomington mayor standing with anti-Israel protesters, calling on police to use de-escalation tactics. Oh, look, let's bring in the social workers. You have fights breaking out. This was at UCLA. They're playing the Star Spangled Banner. And fights break out between pro-Israel and pro-Palestine protesters. At GWU, you have students standing up to anti-Israeli protesters, warning faculty or indoctrinating kids with lies and hatred. Jewish students at the University of Texas. They're now being removed as we speak. It's on Fox. Their escalating anti-Semitism is spiraling into, quote, Jew hatred. Multiple students at UT Austin said that they were approached and told to go back to Germany. What the hell is going on in our country?
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Ronald Reagan took this country from the depths of inflation in the 1970s to economic prosperity in just a few years' time. He knows a thing or two about saving a country in distress, and now you can get your hands on a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. All qualified callers who call the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, this week will get a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. Call 855-815-GOLD and get yours free while supplies last. Ronald Reagan cut taxes, cut government spending, and gave us peace through strength. Now you can celebrate this great president with a limited-run half-ounce silver coin from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. They're a seven-time Inc. 5000 winner, number one-rated gold IRA company with over 5,000 five-star reviews. Call them today at 855-815-GOLD and get your hands on a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Nuclear power runs ships and submarines. It accounts for 62% of electric generation in France, but it's never accounted for more than 20% of power generated here, and few new plants are being planned. With carbon emission concerns shutting down coal and intermittency challenges for renewable energy substitutes, why aren't we building more nuclear power plants? The conventional wisdom is that nuclear is expensive to build, and there's ample evidence to support that notion. But it may surprise you to know that even a fully paid-for nuclear power plant using conventional technology can be more expensive to operate than other technologies, particularly natural gas. Some of the reasons are physical. The light water reactors of most nuclear plants are less efficient than thermal fuel technologies and must be scaled up to produce the same amount of electricity. It's a more complex and, yes, more regulated technology as well, driving up costs. Bring back in the construction costs, and you have your answer. I'm Patrick Barkey.
.com/RADIO.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in very quick phone calls here because we're very short on time and we got John Jackson in the house with us here. Nancy in Roundup, did you have something quick for us here?
Well, a couple of quick comments. The first one has to do with POS Volodymyr Zelensky. He's going around now in the United States telling people that he's getting a deal for a 10-year contract for us to support the Ukrainian war that he cannot win and will never win. Now, what this means is that in 10-year period, if this goes through in 10 years, a new president and no elected official can go over this contract. So I'm just kind of wondering, why do we have to have elected officials if a guy like Zelensky, who's from a foreign nationalist, can tell us that we're forced to pay for his unending war for 10 years?
Yeah, great point. We got to hold it there because we are short on time. But, John, I've been passing out these gift cards highlighting Bidenomics and how it's driving up the cost of everything. So, you know, we were giving out a gift card yesterday, and this guy says, I said, here, this is to try to help with all the Biden tester inflation. And he said, well, you got like $90 million? I said, unless your name's Zelensky. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. little Fidel there barely gets, the ink is barely dry on that $61 billion that we're sending over there. If you notice, Aaron, this last week, almost every day is another news story coming out now about how badly it's going over there. They're retreating. The Russians are moving forward. The whole thing is going badly, but you didn't hear a word about that until that money got signed off.
Man, I'll tell you what, the Ukrainian people need Donald J. Trump back in the White
House. Yes, indeed.
So do we, so do they. And stop the bleeding. Let's go to Sean and Libby. Sean, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm simplified there, Aaron.
Hey,
first of
service.
All, I love the people that come in and come in with a viewpoints for that last call. Being a former Marine myself, you never say you're not going to win. Of course they're going to win. Zelensky's got a great team, a great army, and he's got and they got full of fighting spirit. They got morale. They're going to win. Okay, so we'll just negate that last comment by that lady.
Well, if we get Trump back in there, I think the tables will turn. But we got to get Trump back in there. Yeah. Did you have something to say about judges, real fast?
Yes, sir. Well, I think that because they have such a poke in the fire, these judges these days, that they need to be researched. That they're the people that need to be researched. And I hope that James Brown gets elected. I hope he's on the ticket.
All right. Yeah, he's running for state auditor now instead of Supreme Court. But John Jackson, I don't know if you saw it. John, thanks for the call. John, I don't know if you saw this this story here, but the liberal candidate for the Montana Supreme Court, Jerry Lynch, basically has this quote where he basically admits that they want to use the judiciary to halt anything coming out of the Montana legislature. So his name is Jerry Lynch. So let's stop the Lynch mob from overturning everything coming out of the legislature.
That goes right to what we just talked about a second ago, Aaron. The voters out there, if you don't know who that person is and their background, leave that oval blank. It would be better than messing up and voting for some liberal justice or voting for some Republican rhino that's just going to screw us, go up there to D.C. and screw us over.
All right, the mighty Human Z's been patiently waiting. What's going on, Z? We're just about out of time.
Hey, Great Lakes Greening guys. It turns out that Brandon's OnlyFans is an OnlyFans creator. They've been paying this young lady, Farah Khalidi, money for political ads, but she hasn't been disclosing the fact that these are political ads. I think that's a campaign violation, but I don't know.
A naked violation of campaign finance. A naked violation of the campaign. Yeah, I saw this. Apparently, thanks for the call. John, I saw this. Apparently, Joe Biden's been paying a porn star to promote his campaign.
As we've seen on our podcast, if there's anything involving porn stars or OnlyFans people, Z is the man. He is the investigative reporter on that case.
He's the OnlyFans deputy bureau chief, correspondent, something. Yeah. A naked violation of campaign
drum
finance.
Plus. I'll be here all night. Thank you, buddy. Tip your waiter.
John will be back in about a half an hour. More dad jokes to follow. Wow, what a show on Monday's Montana Talks. We had highlights, Donald Trump Jr., Tim Sheehy, and more from Sunday's event in Missoula, Montana. Plus, I got to catch up with Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raiklin, retired Green Beret, who was traveling to Billings, Montana, with General Michael Flynn. And then a lineup of incredible phone calls from all across Montana. That's always the best part, taking your phone calls, getting a chance to hear from you. Montana Talks, this is the show where you get to talk statewide, 9 to 10, every Monday through Friday.